Hi.
Hey.
Hey. There we go. 6-0-deuce. Time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program.
What's at a sport sound? Clips near you.
That's that sound you'll need to get used to all day. That's Katie Christensen in Phoenix adjusting her microphone.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys? Hi.
That sounds really, really good, actually.
Better than it does in the studio.
My God. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Good for you.
You want to know what the great thing is that every time I talk, I hear my voice about a second later.
Oh, are you getting that echo? I think that's from us.
We can fix that.
That's something. Yeah, we would get that on the Sac Republic broadcast sometimes because we're on the same setup. I don't know anything about what I'm talking about, but I think somewhere in there is something about a mix minus. Is that right?
Well,
Nate?
That's just what Grant says. Yeah. Like, I don't know, but he'll
always copy him.
Right? Yeah, I got the mix minus. You got the mix minus
yeah.
there.
I don't know what that is. It sounds like an alternative rock band.
All it really means is that like you're being fed back to yourself, which sounds hotter than
it
really
is. Yeah, it's awesome.
Can you still just hear yourself when you're echoing? Like, are you getting an echo?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. So Katie's going to be echoing back to herself all morning, but she sounds great to you guys. Normally, you don't peel back the curtain. Normally, shows when they're on the road, they'll just be on the road, and you don't say anything. But this is our first thing with Katie. When Katie came on board at the old KHDK back in April, and we started this brand-new morning show, as it says in the intro, one of the things that we knew was going to happen is when King season started, Katie was going to travel with the team all season long. I guess we didn't know back then she was going to travel for every game, but we knew it was a distinct possibility, and she'd certainly be traveling for some. So this is Katie's first travel attempt, and we have this crazy equipment with like a couple of cans, some string. I think there's a mouse involved somewhere.
About right.
Yeah.
But somehow she's sounding good so far. I actually had $35 that we wouldn't have her ready this morning.
Really?
So I got to pay off Kevin Sharitz because I made that bet with him. And through testing last night and all the stuff that's going on, well, here we go. So if you hear some scratching on the microphone, you're going to hear definitely some breathing. You've probably already heard that into the microphone. Just allow for the
and clearing her throat.
Yeah, that's just Katie and the new mic technique. And nice headphones, by the way.
Thanks. I mean, they got them special for me. I don't know.
Hey, wake up, man. It's 7 o'clock there. What's the matter with
hey,
you?
Hey, I've been up for quite a while. Yeah. Here's the struggle, you guys, is we're used to going to the break room to get coffee. I had to find a place that's open at 5 a.m. in Phoenix to find coffee.
Hold on a second. You're not staying at one of those joints where you can just hang the deal on your door and get coffee and breakfast delivered?
In-room dining doesn't start until 6:30.
Gross. What?
True or false? You have a coffee maker in your room.
False.
What?
I think I could probably guess where you're staying, and I'm not going to do it. But, wow. Rocking the Starbucks.
Now, here's the thing. Just so people understand, like when I said, hey, nice headphones. And the first 5 minutes of the show, by the way, has basically been Nate and I being 6 years old going, hey, Katie's on a neat microphone. Again, no one cares. But I also have her up on FaceTime, so I can see her and what's going on. There's a slight delay from when she says something and I see it on the phone and when she talks. But that's about it. Well, that's all we need to get into. Katie's in Phoenix. Katie's in Phoenix for the game tonight.
And Talking Stick Resort Arena, right? Is that it?
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah. I was there when it was old America West.
The old America West.
I think it was the first or second season of that arena. This is how old I am because they already need a new arena. This was the year that the it was a couple games before the All-Star break, and it was the first time other than in Oakland for the Warriors, which I went to with my dad before the Kings got here. it was the first time I'd ever seen a road basketball game, and I remember the Suns were undefeated, and it was the last game before the All-Star break. They were undefeated at home, and they were taking on the Eastern Conference leaders, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm. Mark Price, Brad Doherty, Craig Elo, and that Suns team had Thunder Dan Marley, Charles Barkley, some Kevin Johnson kid, Richard Dumas, who was my favorite player, and they lost at home for the first time when we went there.
Way to go, Dave.
Yeah, we jinxed the whole thing.
It's all your fault.
It was, but damn, that was probably, again, Kings aside, of course, because we're talking about NBA Finals, but that was probably my all-time favorite NBA team that didn't win a championship, were those Charles Barkley Suns. That was a fun, fun squad. Thank you, everybody.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yes,
Good story.
Yes, fun squad and everyone.
Good story.
I really didn't have any off ramp for that, other than I enjoyed the squad.
Other than that's how great Michael Jordan was.
You know, he was. He was just damn good. Did that to the Jazz, too, by the way. Yeah. Last night was an eventful night in sports. We have trouble in the Bay Area. And as Nate and I predicted yesterday morning, Katie, you were not on that bandwagon. The Warriors lose by 29 at home to start the season. Katie, you should be embarrassed. It was an easy call.
We had blowout. I don't know where you were on that one.
Yeah,
I did not have blowout, but you guys had blowout the opposite direction.
I don't think so.
I thought it would be much closer. I expected much more of the Warriors at home on opening night, but man, I don't know. There's this guy named Jonathan Simmons, and I was like, what? Who are you?
Yeah, Jonathan Simmons pisses me off. He's such a good story.
He's a spur, man.
He is. He's a great story. I'm just curious because that block on Steph Curry, I know that Nate still goes crazy over LeBron James' block on Steph Curry like that in the finals last year. So was that not the best thing for you to see on opening night, Nate?
It was pretty good. I liked seeing the Warriors get stuffed. That's pretty good.
Jonathan Simmons was at Concordia College and had just paid $150 to register.
It was 100.
It was 150.
Wasn't it?
Nope, 150. Oh. Even though it makes absolutely no difference, but it was 150. But
literally, well, you know,
I'm a stickler for money. That's fine. Now we're 30 seconds off here. So $150 to register for the D League tryouts. Okay, and
that's it. I should do that.
$150.
That'd be hilarious.
Jonathan Simmons had four daughters that he was raising with his mother, and to make extra money, he would cut his friend's hair. And his mother, after hearing that, he was thinking, you know, I gotta feed my kids somehow. She said, "Well, if you're not gonna do basketball, why don't you go get your barber's license, and that's a real job for you." He tried out. He was, according to the Spurs officials and coaches, including Earl Watson, who was one of like four coaches he had down there, he was head and shoulders above everybody else in the D League. They offer him a contract finally. He learns again from this bevy of different teachers and then worked his way up to the Spurs last year. And if you look up the article on Jonathan Simmons, and it goes into detail, it's an interesting story about Simmons, you guys. But what really got me was the quotes from R.C. Buford, the quotes from Greg Popovich, and the quotes from the coaches down in the D-League, and the example of the Spurs organization behind the scenes and how they develop talent and how they deal with players on the bench. And it was really a cool insight, Katie, into, because I know you read the same thing, well, you know, it's not that the Spurs just happened to get lucky in the draft, and, man, Jonathan Simmons, why can't we find a Jonathan Simmons? No, there's no luck involved, well, except for lottery balls. There's no luck involved with the Spurs. It is a set way that they develop talent and why they consistently turn out amazing players.
You know, I think it's a good point, Dave, because recently, and we didn't really talk about it at all on the show, but the Kings, acquired, the Bighorns, and they completely own that team. And I think it's just the 15th team of the 22 D-League teams that is owned by the NBA franchise. And this is why it's so important to do that, because when you have complete ownership over your D-League team, that gives you the ability to really use it as a farm system and use it like the Spurs have used it. Now, granted, let's be honest here. The Spurs have been on to something for a couple decades. It's no secret that they've figured out a way to really develop talent. So, it's also nice to have someone walk into your D-League open tryouts and, I don't know, be amazing.
Blah, blah. They didn't even need the guy last night. He only had 20 points. Oh, they won by 29.
Jeez.
Didn't even need him.
Jeez, Nate.
Hey, it was. It's funny that with all of that stuff going on, that Jonathan Simmons really ends up, obviously not the biggest story of the evening, but definitely a big story in the evening. Katie had texted me, just off the air stuff. She texted me while we're talking a screenshot of an article saying Jonathan Simmons paid $100.
Uh-oh.
So, hey, Katie, during the break, this is funny, because during the break, I'm going to text you the screenshot of what I'm looking at right now from the ESPN article.
And this,
that says he plopped down a $150
facts.
Registration yeah. fee. Ha-ha, so I'm right, yeah. And so are you. We'll take a break. Up next, Morning Brew, lot of basketball, and hey, are those Cubbies in trouble? We'll explain next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. And the Cleveland Indians
nothing.
Take a 6-0 lead in the game. They take a 1-0 lead. I tried to make that smooth in the series. The Chicago Cubs, here's what I worry about, guys. The Cubs, if they have a weakness this year, it's that their bats will occasionally go bye-bye for a couple games. You can't do that in a best-of-seven series. They did that a little bit against it. It was like the tail end of the Giants at the beginning of the Dodgers series. Then the bats woke up. The bats need to wake up very, very quickly, or this is going to be a very short series.
Well, it's not like they weren't getting on base. You have to give credit to Corey Kluber for what he was able to do. He was in a situation a couple times where he had bases loaded or a couple guys on, and he went to work.
He went to work, Nathan.
Went to work.
Yeah.
I thought the biggest play of that game, that was just an abrupt end to the thought, that's all, was early on in the game when Lindor was able to steal second base because David Ross didn't get a throw off. And it kind of screwed up that whole inning. And, you know, the Indians ended up just raising hell for the rest of the game after that. I thought that was huge. They tested John Lester. We've seen teams do that in the playoffs. And, you know, David Ross has come up huge with some big throws. And he just loses the handle on one. And before you know it, it's like John Lester just has a rough night the rest of the night.
Well, and Katie, the first inning, and you talk about the Lester thing, Nate, the first inning, Lester was almost out of the inning. He was absolutely almost out of the inning. There was a little fluky thing here, a nub here, the stolen base. And next thing you know, the Indians have two runs. And there were times when there was one time in particular, Cubs had loaded up the bases and just could not get that clutch hit when it counted. The other thing I thought about, too, and I know we're way ahead of the game, selfishly, not only do I want one of these teams to win, and guess what? One of them will.
Yeah, that's good.
If the Cubs win the World Series, and that's what I want to happen, I so badly want it to be at Wrigley Field. And they now have to win four straight for that to happen.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's not going to be the easiest thing in the world.
The crazy thing about this, you guys, three games last night to open up NBA action, and I would say there was maybe one good one in there. That Utah-Portland game, 4 minutes to go, it was a one-point game, and then Damian Lillard happened. But I don't know. I was expecting the Knicks to not play well against the Cavs, especially when they're getting their rings and they're raising their banners. But no one saw the Golden State Warriors-San Antonio game happening.
No, I'm bad enough at picking mid-season NFL games when we have an idea of what the teams are like and we have knowledge about injury reports and all that type of stuff. I'm not even close on any of these games. This is why you don't bet on NBA games. Not even close.
The Knicks were.
Yeah.
The Knicks made it a good game for the first half. The first half was actually a close game, and the Knicks had the lead a little bit, and then that didn't happen. And then LeBron James had a triple double and looked freaking amazing. And you're right, Katie. The Portland Utah game was very good until late, and Portland barely pulled away. But last night, as we talked about the big story, the Warriors getting blown out by home and this kid letting the world know he's for real. And there you go. An emphatic slam dunk by Simmons, and I'm sure we'll be talking about him for most of the morning. In addition to Jonathan Simmons, there's other guys in the NBA.
Guys, the Kings are playing tonight.
Hey,
it's
hey.
Happening. The season is here.
Yay.
Coverage starts at 5:30 with Game Night on KHTK, followed by Kings Live pregame at 6:30. Kings and Suns from Talking Stick Resort Arena in Phoenix.
Katie Christensen will be as part of the broadcast team, as always, along with Grant and Jerry. Katie, are we either now or at some point today going to get the first of our 82 previews of what Katie Christensen will be sporting tonight?
Oh, Lord. Oh,
come on. You're the one who wanted to do that. See, I just made that up. She absolutely didn't want to do that at all.
I didn't.
No, I
don't like
to
talk about this.
Literally no part of her. I'm gonna guess a dress.
I am wearing a dress.
Okay.
Wow.
Fantastic job by me.
The big reveal.
Kings opening.
I mean, it's hot here.
It's climate controlled.
Hotter in a dress, ain't it, fellas?
Right? You know where it's not hot?
High fiving myself.
The studio. Because guess what? No one's here to mess with the thermostat. It's probably 85 degrees in your hotel room.
It's very nice and toasty in my hotel room.
I'll bet it is. Kings open up tonight against the Phoenix Suns. We'll get into this a lot, especially at 7:30. We'll do a full Kings preview as well. Want to remind you, Greg Papa will be on as a normal time, 8:05. Paige Van Zandt in studio at 8:30. True or false, if the Kings lose the game tonight, they begin the road trip with an 0-3 start. True or false?
It's impossible. They don't have a road trip.
They don't?
Not to start.
Huh?
This isn't a road trip. They're going to Phoenix and they're coming home.
I know.
It's
not what he said, Nate.
He said if they lose tonight, they start their road trip.
0-3. The five-game road trip coming up after the next two games. Yeah. We'll talk about that next on the Tribe Sports 1140 KHDK. Want to remind you later today, 8:05, Greg Papa will join us to talk a little Raider football coming off a victory in Jacksonville. 8:30, Paige Van Zandt is going to be in studio to join us, and we have a special surprise for you tomorrow morning as we're broadcasting live from the Golden One Center.
Whoa.
All kinds. It's going to be a star-studded affair, Nate and Katie, and Katie will be back just in time to get about 20 minutes of sleep from Phoenix and then be super duper cold. Although I did find out yesterday, and I know this probably makes you happy, Katie, the broadcast, because of rain concerns, has been moved indoors. Yeah.
I heard the news, and I was excited about that. I
want to be outside. Be outside in the right next to the Golden One Center smoking section.
You like the cold. Yeah, there is no smoking section.
Well, you know what? We'll make one. Let them boot me. 6:33, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. Last night, the World Series started. It was beautiful. World Series begins. The opening of the NBA season starts. I even had a stinking hockey game on last night.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff going on. But in the end, it was the Cleveland Indians getting it done, sending the Chicago Cubs back to their, you know, back to their hotel rooms with a sad, sad feeling as they got a little steamrolled by the Indians. There was not a lot of life from the Cubs. Your thoughts, Katie, first game of the series, Cubs down 1-0.
Yeah, I think it really came down to pitching. I mean, you talked about their offense earlier for the Cubs, like not being, you know, well, being a concern because there's been some games here and there where their bats haven't been alive. I don't know that their bats weren't alive, but I think that the Indians did a really good job of when they had people on base and in scoring opportunities of the pitching coming through for them.
Well, Corey Kluber, Nate, was amazing. Here he was versus Chris Bryant, who's had a pretty damn good postseason. If you were a professional athlete, true or false, you'd want some form of ooh in your name so that when you get introduced, the entire crowd sounds like they're booing. It's fantastic. And Corey Kluber was fantastic, too.
He is not done yet, either. He threw 88 pitches last night. Terry Francona knew he could go to that bullpen early, and it was out of hand. He's saving this guy in case they need him because it's one game. It's in Cleveland. This is what they're supposed to do. It's not panic time for the Cubs. And, I mean, you guys are describing, like, hey, the Cubs' bats go silent sometimes. You're describing baseball is what you're talking about here. And you're talking about, like, the most powerful offensive team in the game and the best team left. They're still in prime position to be just fine. We've seen them have a bad game and bounce right back. Kluber was amazing. That bullpen's amazing, but the Cubs aren't done yet. This is nothing to them.
Katie, do you give a managerial edge at all to Joe Maddon,
Terry Francona is 9-0 in World Series games.
And that's why.
Do I give it to Joe Maddon?
That's what I meant to say. Was do you give a managerial edge at all?
We just had that discussion before we went on air.
It was the right thought with the wrong name. But you're exactly right. Terry Francona, not only 9-0 as you said, but you've got you've got that experience in there as well. And though Joe Maddon, I've started to call him the millennial manager because I think he's actually a millennial in an old man's body. That's just how he looks and acts. But Terry Francona can't seem to make a bad move.
Well, and I think to a certain degree, when you're a manager and you have players that are aware of your success in big games like the World Series and in situations like that, I think it also gives you a little bit of added confidence. Like, man, they have to be aware of that stat. 9-0? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, those guys are definitely confident that when Terry Francona makes a move, it's the right one. And I think there's a huge advantage, too, that, you know, Joe Maddon has the same thing, but Terry Francona's managed in both leagues, and he won in the American. You know, he's been around, so he understands, you know, how to manage bullpens like this. He manages his bullpen a lot like a National League team would.
And it was a cool little side story they showed. They showed a father-son game, I want to say, from like 1964 or 67, and it was Terry's dad, Tito, and little Terry Francona sitting down in this row of kids. His dad played for the Cleveland Indians. And you kind of see that the way everything comes home to roost. Now, Terry Francona, an opportunity not only to, you know, we talk a lot about Theo Epstein, and we should, what he did with the Red Sox and what he did with the Indians, but Terry Francona having that opportunity as well to kill two curses at once behind the bench is pretty amazing. Roberto Perez last night, the soft hitting catcher, as they say for Cleveland, was not that soft hitting. I want to hate on that call because it sounded a little too calm, but really, honestly, that's the type of call you would have heard back in like the fifth. That's a throwback home run call. The announcer was loud. He was excited. It's gone. The umpire said it's a home run. That's the exact type of call you would have heard in 1955, sponsored by Lucky Cigarettes. Roberto Perez, though, was not done this evening. Big difference in the calls right there. Bottom line is Roberto Perez had an amazing night. Francisco Lindor is a name I think a lot of casual baseball fans aren't really familiar with, but I think he joins guys like Jose Altuve and many of those other I've always done that. I've always called him Altuve, and I know it's wrong, and I still do it, and I caught myself 2 seconds after I did it, too. He joins that class of these young kids, the next generation of ball players that are really, you know, you can throw, who's the kid, Javi from Chicago, the second baseman.
Javier Baez.
Thank you. You can throw
Baez,
him in there
yeah.
as well. This young group of kids that, again, it happens on almost every World Series, guys. You get this group that's just too dumb to be nervous. They're just too young and dumb to be nervous. They don't care. They don't feel the pressure. They don't care about the history. And here you had last night, here's Francisco Lindor on that key stolen base. You mentioned Terry Francona, and here he is talking about Roberto Perez.
Well, Dave, you mentioned Lindor as being somebody that maybe a casual baseball fan isn't aware of, but I think plenty of fans are aware of him now because they're all crowding at local Taco Bells for the free tacos.
Well, of course.
Still a base, still a taco.
Of course. Everybody wins.
If there's free food involved.
The Indians take a 1-0 lead. 4 o'clock tonight, because of rain concerns, 4 o'clock Pacific is your first pitch. In fact, it's setting up beautifully to have the World Series go directly into the Kings game. Yay. It's going to be a fun night of sports. Cubs, Indians, Jake Arrieta versus Bauer. Is this, and I know this gets thrown around, but honestly, do the Cubs have to win this game?
Yes.
Yeah.
I really do think so. I think that it's a bad situation to be in to go into game three of a World Series and be down 0-2.
Nate, it's not a series until
it's
not a series until a home team loses a game, correct? Or no?
I mean, does that make it must win? I would agree with that, but they still gonna have a couple opportunities if they take care of business at home. Never must win, man. Not when you got bats like that, and you still got Aroldis Chapman in your bullpen. All you got to do is get to the ninth inning, eighth inning. Cleveland can shorten the game a little bit more, but you know Kansas City used to be the same way, and they'd only won once out of two times. So
real quick, if I remember correctly, we're all three. If we had to pick a team, aren't we pulling for the Cubs? Well, all three of us rooting for the Cubs.
Yeah, Katie, I'm rooting for Dorothy.
Okay, so yeah, she wrote a whole blog on it at KHDK.com. Yeah. Nate, you're pulling
for
the Cubs.
If I have
and
to choose.
Goats everywhere.
Now, back to what I said earlier. If you found out, if the Cubs could not clinch at home, but the Indians had a chance to clinch at home. Would that change your mind at all? Would you rather see the Indians win the World Series clinching at home,
sure,
or the Cubs?
Sure, I'm indifferent, man.
Are you, either way?
I like to see a home clinch.
Me
always.
Too. Me too. So were the San Francisco Giants, and they had three opportunities, and they didn't get an opportunity to do that. Not once.
You're not bitter at all.
No, yeah, I'm a bitter guy whose team has won three championships. Exactly. When we get back, trouble in Oakland, LeBron James right back where he started as if nothing happened. And, wow, the Spurs scored 31 points in the first quarter against the Warriors. There's significance to that number. We'll talk about it next. Opening night in the NBA, Sports 1140, KHDK. JaVale McGee on a poster. Oh, poor JaVale on the poster, and Jonathan Simmons, who I would probably call Ben at least six times this year. At one point when he had 12 points, he was the leading scorer in a game that had Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard. The Warriors get destroyed at home. Coming up in just about 10 minutes, we'll focus on the Kings. We'll have some sound for you and begin our preview, the big Kings preview, at 7:30, right before Greg Papa at 8:05. So write that down. Also want to remind you, right in the bottom of the show, right around 8:45, we're going to have another chance for you to win an Apple TV and qualify.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Katie, listen up. I know you're in Phoenix, and this should make you very jealous. Not only could you win the Apple TV, you're going to qualify to win a 60-inch 4K TV. And if that wasn't enough to bribe you to listen to our dumb show, you're also going to get an opportunity to win season opener tickets for the Sacramento Kings and San Antonio Spurs. Yeah, how about
that? Man, we gave a TV away yesterday.
No,
You know what? We're spoiling our listeners.
We
that's
really
what's
are.
Happening.
I call them bribes.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Some facts for you. The Warriors lost last night. Yeah, you kind of knew that. Here's the deal. Last year, they didn't lose until their 25th game of the season. Last year, they didn't lose at home until April. They started 36-0 at home. Only one team in NBA history, according to
that was my fact, dang you.
You want to give it out then?
Yes.
Okay.
I was very proud of this.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Only one team to lose opening night by 20 or more points and bounce back to win an NBA title was the St. Louis Hawks, who were blown out by the Celtics and Bill Russell in the 1957-58 season, but they went on to beat the Celtics in the finals.
Here's also a little addendum on that. No team, no, because you're absolutely right. No team that has lost their season opener by 29 or more has ever come back to win the NBA Finals.
I've got a number for you. The final score last night, 129 to 100. Uh-huh. Add those numbers up, right? Uh-huh. 1 plus 2 equals 3 plus 9 equals 12. All right, so you got 12. Uh-huh. Now 1 plus 0 plus 0, that equals 13. And if you spin that around, it's 31, which is 3-1, which is the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the finals.
I got stuck on 1 plus 0 plus 0 equals 13.
God. I know. That's pretty good, huh?
But after coming off of that finals, and if you didn't see the Cavs rings yesterday, not only are they gorgeous, but the bottom of the ring, they're rubies, and there are seven slots for the rubies. The others are diamonds. The diamonds are losses, and the rubies are the wins. So it shows exactly you can. They did that very much on purpose.
Wow.
So it shows each game. It alternates which games the Cavs and Warriors won. Here's the thing. The first quarter that the Golden State Warriors played since they lost Game 7 of the NBA Finals, in which they blew a 3-1 lead, Greg Popovich decided to purposely have his team put up 31 points in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The Spurs held the Warriors to 100 points. The Warriors scored 100 points or fewer only 9 times last season. They were 4-5 in those games. A couple of more notes for you. The Warriors' plus 5-point margin when all four of their big four were on the court at the same time. They were plus 5. When one of the four was off the court, the Warriors were minus 34.
Yikes.
So we talked
about what happens when you get rid of that bench.
That's exactly right. And by the way, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and now Kevin Durant have all lost their Golden State Warrior debuts, okay? And that's it. That's all the numbers I have for you. It was a shocker.
You know, I've got a couple of numbers for you if we want to continue to play the numbers game.
No, please.
When you look at the change, we talked about, okay, yeah, they had a ton of turnovers, a turnover on the Warriors because of bringing in Kevin Durant. Seven new players on that Warriors team. So you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, seven new guys. They got to work them in. It might be a little rough to start. Guess who else has seven new players on their team?
Who's that?
The Spurs. And they just blew them out by 29 points. Does that not tell you anything about, I don't know, at what point do we maybe reassess the fact that the Spurs might be a contender for the title, maybe more than people thought?
I don't know. It's going to take more than one game.
Yeah, I know it's going to take more than one game.
It'll take three.
But the way that Greg Popovich after
no, it'll take two games. I mean, if they beat the Kings, I mean, we'll know.
You, Nate, man, I wish I was there so I could pinch you and make you shut up. No, I like your curmudgeonness, you know, like your curmudgeoniness, however you want to say it. But the reality is, like, I don't think we give. Popovich gets so much credit for being an amazing coach, but I think sometimes, and last year was a great example of it, guys. He had an incredible season. They played, you know, the best season in their franchise history, but no one was talking about them all year. And then here we go this year. He comes back, seven new guys on the roster. Like, he has them dialed in. His system is so amazing. We have to be talking about this Spurs team as contenders, but yet we were guilty of it yesterday, talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Warriors as the locks for the finals.
You know, it is one game. It's one game. I'm not.
So you're saying you disagree with me? Maybe we need to reconsider.
I don't want to disagree with you, and you never know. Maybe Tim Duncan was the thing holding the Spurs back last year. For all we know, we have seen any time a super team has been put together, it take them a minimum of a season to get it together. The Warriors were different because they won 73 games last year. I have a hard time believing the Warriors aren't going to bring it together, but we have 81 more games to go. When we return, we'll talk about the Sacramento Kings, and we'll tell you which player said, hey, you know what? I don't care about anything. My goal is the playoffs, pure and simple. We'll take a break, come back, talk about your Kings on opening night in Phoenix on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.